Today's scripture is from the letter to the Romans, chapter 12, verses 1 through 2. Listen to God's word. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please pray with me. Dear God, we thank you so much for your love for us. God, that you are trustworthy. Trustworthy even with our lives. God, we pray that you would take the words off this page and help them come alive to us in our hearts. That we would know more of your love and that we would love you more. And God, that we would trust you more and that we would follow you more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I've learned that I have a kind of a love-hate relationship with the idea of structure. So I don't like having too much of my life planned because I want to be able to do things spontaneously. I want to be able to go with the flow and do things when I feel like doing them and not when my schedule dictates it. However, what I found is that structure makes my life better. It helps me make sure that I'm accomplishing the things that are important to me and that I want to do, even if I don't necessarily feel like doing it at any given time. So even though I resist it, I find my life is a lot richer when I have structure in it. And that's the idea behind this sermon series on following the unforced rhythms of grace. When we choose to structure our lives by incorporating these rhythms into our days and weeks, we enter into more of the richness of God's grace. These rhythms can help us experience more of the abundant life that Jesus promises. These rhythms open us up to the Holy Spirit's comfort and guidance. So even though these rhythms might impose some undesired structure on our lives, and even though they can be difficult to put into practice, they're often pathways to a deeper and richer experience of God. So far, we've looked at a few of these rhythms that we can incorporate into our lives on a more regular and intentional basis, giving thanks and then confession. And today we're looking at the concept of surrender. The term surrender is usually used in two different ways. One is the idea of giving up fighting, and the other is the idea of giving over something to someone, maybe surrendering one's possessions or one's rights. It's mainly this second usage that is meant by this spiritual concept of surrender. We see it in this passage in Romans that calls us to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. This word present has that sense of yielding or surrendering. But what we are to yield is our whole body, our life, as a living sacrifice to God. It's a call to put our lives at God's disposal, meaning our time, our energy, our resources, and even our rights are given over to God for him to direct and to use. For some reason, what came to mind as I was looking at this is the seagulls in Finding Nemo. Any of you watched Finding Nemo? They all flock around, and they go, mine, 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 mine. And we do the same thing with our lives. My time, mine. Money, mine. Energy, mine. Surrendering means changing our tune from mine to God's. Recognizing that the things that we hold onto so tightly need to be held with an open hand, ready to give over to God for him to use. But there's a sense that this spiritual surrender is also a giving up of fighting. It's giving up the struggle between our will and God's will. No longer demanding that life works out the way we want. No longer believing that our way is better than God's way. And therefore, being willing to submit in obedience to God's commands and God's call on our lives. We so often fight against God with respect to the things that we don't understand in life. We ask, why did you allow this? Why are you doing this to me? How long are you going to keep withholding from me? Surrendering means making peace with God instead of fighting against him. It means accepting our circumstances, recognizing that God allowed them, that God is in them, and that God can use them. Surrendering means living into the serenity prayer, asking God to help us accept the things we can't change, seeking courage from God to change what we can, and seeking God's wisdom to know which is which. Think about how life could be different if we recognized that when things don't go our way, instead of fighting against it or being filled with anxiety about it, we could trust that God allowed it, that God is in it, and that God can use it. Ever since the team that was hoping to go to Nigeria had to cancel their mission trip, Erica, the team leader, has embraced this motto, "Let's see what God will do." That is an attitude of surrender, recognizing that we're not in control, but that God can bring goodness and beauty out of disappointment and challenge. I don't think that any of the rhythms that we've talked about so far are easy. Taking a serious inner look and confessing our sins is hard. Giving thanks, especially when circumstances are tough, can be very difficult. But surrender may be the hardest of all. What makes this idea of surrender so hard? I think it's because we want what we want, and so giving that up is hard. Delayed gratification and self-denial are not popular and not something that we're good at. To say, "Not my will, but thy will be done," goes against our grain. Our view of what would be best is pretty compelling to us. And we're afraid of what surrender will cost, sometimes in actual dollars, but more often in different forms: our time, our energy, or the opportunity cost of what we could be doing instead. There are many aspects to what makes surrender hard, but I think most of them boil down to one thing. We have a hard time trusting God with our lives. Sometimes this stems from a distorted view of God. We might see God as a severe disciplinarian or a harsh taskmaster, bringing bad circumstances into our lives to teach us a lesson, or wanting us to be slaving away at his various demands, always wanting more from us. Of course we don't want to surrender to God if that's how we view him. The other day I was reading in my devotions this imagined dialogue that comes from Hannah Wittall Smith, it's a classic, The Christian Secret of a Happy Life. Smith writes, "A Christian lady was once expressing to a friend how impossible she found it to say, 'Thy will be done,' and how afraid she should be to do it. Her friend said, 'Suppose your little son Charlie should say, Mother, I've made up my mind to let you have your way with me from this time forward. I'm always going to obey you, and I want whatever you think best with me. I will trust your love.' How would you feel towards him? Would you say to yourself, 'Ah, now I shall have a chance to make Charlie miserable. I will take away all his pleasures and fill his life with every hard and disagreeable thing that I can find. I will compel him to do just the things that are the most difficult for him to do and will give him all sorts of impossible commands.' 'Oh, no, no, no,' exclaimed the indignant mother. 'You know I would not. You know I would hasten to fill his life with all that was sweetest and best.' 'And are you more tender and more loving than God?' asked her friend. 'Ah, no,' was the reply. 'I see my mistake. Of course I must not be any more afraid of saying, "Thy will be done," to my heavenly Father than I would want my Charlie to be of saying it to me.'" We lose our fear of surrender when we recognize and really believe that God is all good and all loving, that his commands and discipline are for our good, and that even when it costs us to surrender, that he has something richer for us, although it might take God's eternal perspective to see it. So we've looked at what it means to surrender and what makes it hard. But there are also blessings associated with surrendering our lives to God. In the past year, I've had a beautiful lesson in the blessings and fruit that comes from lives of surrender through my cousin Elaine and her husband, also named Charlie. Some of you will remember that 6 months ago, I headed to California to attend Charlie's funeral. Charlie was one of those larger-than-life figures, full of friendly charm and charisma. He had this intensity about him, always giving 110% to life and his ministry as a senior pastor at this growing and dynamic church. And he and his wife, Elaine, who's my cousin, have always been a source of inspiration to me as they've lived lives of incredible commitment and trust in God. I had just seen them both last Thanksgiving, and Charlie was his typical energetic and vibrant self. When I heard a few months later that he'd been admitted to the ICU because of H1N1, I was confident that God would pull him through. Through Facebook, I saw how many people were praying for his recovery, and it just seemed like God would want to heal him and allow him to continue his dynamic ministry. So even though I knew it was serious and that he'd been in the ICU for several weeks, I was still shocked when I heard that he had passed away. Shocked and disappointed with God for not answering my prayer and the prayers of so many others. What blew me away, though, was when I heard about Elaine's response to Charlie's death. Soon after she heard that he had died, Elaine's response was to remark, "God is so good." Not usually one's immediate response to losing one's husband and soulmate. But it stemmed from having two big prayers on her mind. Charlie had recently been diagnosed with cancer after having battled a different cancer 10 years before. And true to his live life at 110% or nothing personality, he had prayed God to spare him from another debilitating fight. And even though it was hard for her to hear, he had told Elaine about this prayer. So that was one big prayer that was very much on her mind. And then earlier the day that Charlie had died, the doctor had come to her and said, this will be a significant day. And, you know, we'll see if there's improvement. But if there's not, you're going to need to be thinking about whether to take him off the ventilator. And at that point, Elaine's prayer was, "Oh, Lord, please don't make me make that decision. Either make it clear that he's getting better or take him home, but don't make me make that decision." And then just a few hours later, Charlie died peacefully. And Elaine's response could be, "Lord, you are so good. You answered our two big prayers." I'm still so moved by that story and inspired by Elaine's trust in God and her eyes to see God's goodness, even in the saddest times and the most painful circumstances. That is the evidence or the fruit of a life surrendered to God. Comfort and peace in the midst of life's storms. A trust that is not shaken by sorrow and difficulty. And a deep sense of God's presence in the valley of the shadow of death. When I went to Charlie's memorial service, I saw the fruit of his life of surrender. The service was in two parts, and there was this opt-out intermission, so not everybody needed to stay for the whole thing, but the whole thing was more than 3 hours long. The first part of the service included an altar call, and people came to accept Christ. So even in his death, Charlie's life was making an impact. The second part had people sharing about the incredible difference that Charlie had made to their lives as a pastor and a friend and a role model in faith. The presiding pastor finally had to cut off the sharing after about 2 hours. I see in this another blessing of surrender. God can do incredible things in and through a life that is surrendered to him. Our lives surrendered to God can have such significance and make such a difference to the people around us and to the world we live in. I see in Charlie and Elaine the beautiful blessings of lives surrendered to God. Surrendering to God and his will allows us to experience peace in the midst of life's darkest moments, because it develops in us eyes to see God's goodness even through the pain. Rather than fighting our circumstances, it allows us to trust that God is present and at work and can use them to do something good and beautiful. Surrendering to God and his will for us also allows us to live lives of deep meaning and powerful impact as God uses us to bless and minister to others and to carry out his redemptive work in the world. So what does it mean to bring a structured rhythm of surrender into our daily lives? Our passage from Romans helps us with this question. First, we see that surrender is a response to God's mercies and empowered by God's grace. The translation that we read said, "by the mercies of God." The NIV translates that, "in view of God's mercy." And actually, I like the two translations together, because together they help capture these two different aspects. Our ability to surrender is God's grace working in us through the Holy Spirit. And it is the grace and mercy that Jesus Christ showed us when he sacrificed himself for our sake that motivates our surrender in grateful response. What we see, though, is it becomes an iterative process. As we trust God and try surrendering to him, we recognize God's goodness and grace acting in our lives in new ways, which in turn makes us more willing to surrender. A positive cycle develops as we become more and more convinced of God's goodness and love as we surrender more and more of our lives to him. Second, surrender is to be embodied. Paul says, "Present your bodies." It's not some once and for all decision that gets made in our heads, but it is something that shows up in the millions of little decisions that together make up our lives. According to the message, it refers to all that is happening in your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life. It means giving of your time and energy to care for others. It means yielding your rights to edify or build up another. It means obeying God and courageously choosing what is right. It means giving our resources to benefit others. It means so many different ways of dying to self for the sake of another. Third, we grow in our willingness and ability to surrender by renewing our minds. One aspect of Paul's call not to be conformed to this world is this idea of surrendering to God. Our culture emphasizes the individual and the need to take charge of one's life. So the idea of surrendering one's life to God, of making one's body a living sacrifice, is very countercultural. And Paul says we resist this conformity to the world and experience transformation through renewing our minds. This means meditating on the truth of who God is, letting our minds dwell on God's goodness and his love. Giving thanks and developing a grateful attitude are ways we renew our minds. Confessing our sins and recognizing God's grace and forgiving us no matter what we've done is a way we renew our minds. Reminding ourselves of God's promises is a way we renew our minds. And mentally rehearsing what surrender looks like in our daily life is a way we can renew our minds and prepare ourselves for those little decisions that will come our way. When I was in California for Charlie's funeral, Elaine's sister gave me a copy of one of Charlie's files called My Life's Intent, which includes scripture passages that were important to him, his personal mission statement, and some different short prayers that he liked to pray. And one section of it is called My Dailies. And these were statements that he read to himself every day of his life to renew his mind and to remind himself of what a life surrendered to God looks like. And so I want to read them to you, not because they're the definitive word, and not because Charlie was perfect. In fact, I can see in some of these statements reminders for him to keep working on the areas that he most struggled with. But I think they're helpful because they provide a real-life example of someone's rhythm of renewing his mind and daily surrendering to God. Seeing a real-life example can give us ideas of how we can incorporate this rhythm into our lives. So here are Charlie's dailies. My main goal of every moment of the day is to become like Christ, to measure character in terms of Christ-likeness. Every day I will seek to know God and hear God and partner with God in being conformed to being Christ-like. Remember every day the cross that Jesus suffered and died upon for me. Live in prayerful dependence upon God. Guard your tongue. Watch your words. Practice self-control. Walk in the Spirit. Be observant. Listen well. Remember that love does not act unbecomingly. Rejoice in the Lord. Be empathic. Care about what others care about. Be intentional about entering the other person's world. Reaffirm my devotion to my Elaine, to my sons, daughters-in-law, grandchildren, brothers, relatives, family, and friends. Be observant and proactive concerning Elaine's needs, mood, and desires. Help her. Be there for her. Do right things according to a standard. Pay attention to details. Be sensitive and generous to the weak. Renounce resentment and commit to peacemaking with everyone. Pray daily for the love, unity, faithfulness, and effectiveness of our elder board, staff, and church family. Seek every day to do the work of an evangelist. And the last one, live in anticipation of the coming of Jesus. Can you see how spending time each day with these statements and in prayer could create a rhythm of grace that would result in a life more surrendered to God? How a structure like this could add richness to life as it reminds you of who God is and what is most important. How having these regular reminders would infiltrate your daily decisions and interactions. We can all develop our own dailies or come up with other practices that create a life-giving and grace-giving structure or rhythm to our lives. These habits of renewing our minds are closely tied to our ability to present our bodies as living sacrifices and to bear the fruit of lives that are surrendered to God. May God give us grace to take on these unforced rhythms of grace and grow in our willingness and ability to surrender our lives to God. Amen.